If you have your Bibles, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. And if you're there, say amen. I don't mean to be redundant, but I'll start from verse 1. And you were dead. This is the modern English version. So it's another translation. And you have King James Version on the screen back there. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Paul was talking to the church at Ephesus, but it was to the entire body of Christ, and it's to us as well, because we ourselves were dead in trespasses and sins before coming to God, in which you formerly walked. That word walk means to live or regulate your life by, according to the age of this world and according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. And so we see what our past was and what it was affected or impacted by. First of all, without Jesus, we were dead in trespasses and sins. Even though we're living daily on this earth, our lives were still dominated by trespasses and sin. The sinful nature reigned and ruled within each and every one of us. When we truly received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, our spirit man came alive and our carnal nature was crucified with Christ on the cross. And we now come alive to God. Whereas once we were dead to God and alive to sin, now we're dead to sin and we're alive to God. The sinful life is ran, governed, ruled, manipulated by the powers of this present darkness, the spirit of disobedience, which is the spirit of Satan, a devil, a demon. Our lives were governed by that. What gave place to that is the sinful nature of man. It's the sinful nature that becomes the seat of Satan's power and authority in a child of God's life. We may think that we're doing our own thing or doing what we want, but we're actually doing the devil's thing, doing what the devil wants. When we read in light of Scripture, praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. We'll just listen to Brother Ed. Brother Ed got it going tonight. Hallelujah. I'll keep that there in case this one decides to act up. Where was I before I was so rudely interrupted by that microphone? Doing what the devil wants. Exactly. So the spirit of disobedience is dominating. Now, when the word comes to us, can I just say this truthfully and honestly and as, you know, transparent as I could possibly be? The word of God is good to us. It's good to us. It's our food. The word of God is not all about rules and commandments and orders, if you will. Like God, excuse me, is holy. Kinds of vessel. Like God is this hard taskmaster. Now you remember the parable of the talents and also the minas. That was the other one. And you remember how the person who only received what he was able to handle, one had five, one had two, and then one had one. And the one who only had one, mind you, they're all giving according to their own ability. If the one could have handled two, the Lord would have gave him two. If the one could have handled five, the Lord would have gave him five. But the Lord was saying, this person is only capable of handling one, so that's all I'm going to give them because I'm not setting you up for failure. I'm setting you up for success. So the one who could handle five, he gave to five. And what did he do? He went and he exchanged, and he came back with 10. He doubled what he had. The one with the two, same thing. He had what he was able. He went and he worked with it, and he brought it back. He brought back four. He doubled his. But the one with the one, all he did was went and buried his. And the mindset of that individual was he felt like his Lord was a hard taskmaster, reaping where he has not sown. Just unfair, mean ruler. And so the Lord said, well, if you felt that way, you should have at least went and deposited it into a bank. That way you could have gained interest and you could have brought me that at my coming. But it's the mindset, and this is where so many are in the body of Christ. They think God's ways are hard, too hard. Even though our Savior said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. So even though the Lord is trying to get across to us that no, my ways are good, they're good for you, we can still have that mindset, no, this is too hard. Nobody has to do this. Nobody can live up to that. You're just asking and demanding too much. I just think that's just too much. You want my whole life. That's just too much. I'm not going to do that. And that's how we view him, like that person with the one talent. And so, the Lord is like, okay, but that's not me. That's not who, you know, who you think I am in your mind is not who I really am, because God is a good God and his word is good to us. I say that because when God's word comes to us, it's life. As I said, Jesus chapter 6. Verse 63, John chapter 6. Did I say Jesus chapter 6? Praise God. Amen. I'm listening to myself too. John chapter 6, verse 63. If you could put that up, Sister Lori, real quick, and then we're going to jump back to Ephesians because I think that's the verse. He said, the words that I speak to you, these words are spirit and these words are life. Amen. It is the spirit that quickeneth, or gives life, or causes to come alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words, the rhema, the logos that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And so that's how God wants us to receive his scriptures or his audible voice in speaking to us or speaking to our spirit or even speaking through one of his chosen vessels to speak into our lives. It's spirit and it's life. It's to help us to live. And the type of life that is helping us live is the kingdom life. We come out of the world, okay? Supposed to. We come out of the world. Not that we leave the planet Earth, but we come out of the world's ways. We come out from under the rule of the prince of the power of the air, the spirit of disobedience that works in the children of disobedience. We come out from demonic possession, demonic oppression, demonic influence, if you will. We come out from underneath that, and then we come into the very presence of the great I am, who gives us life by giving us his word. Does that make sense? And so whatever God is speaking to us, this is life. So if he tells us how to behave ourselves and our behavior is not measured up to what God is saying, we're not living. We're living that old life. We're living a dead lifestyle. But God's trying to show us this is how it is. This is the path. Walk in it. Jesus said it like this. And when he says this, I think even there in Matthew chapter 7, we have to kind of rightly divide and discern. He says, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many go that way. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads unto life. And there are few who find it. The difficulty is not the word of God coming to us that brings us life. The difficulty is the obstacles that we have to deal with and go through in walking and living this life, because everything in this world now is against God, anti-God. And we have to see that, not because I'm saying so, but that's how the word teaches us. The Bible teaches us, if I ask you this, somebody will be able to tell me what this acronym means. N-O-T-W. Oh, you go, Sister Liz. N-O-T-W. How many of you seen that on cars? Yeah. Not of this world. Well, the ones who did the not of this world are not the ones that gave birth to that. Jesus gave birth to that. He told us in John chapter 17, we're in this world. We're not of this world. But if our behavior reflects the world, then we're still dead in trespasses and sins. And so this word doesn't apply, but it will apply if we will allow it to apply. We were dead in trespasses and sins because of the lifestyle that we were living. It was a sinful lifestyle, a lifestyle governed by the flesh that only leads to destruction. It was a sinful, rebellious life, anti-God, anti-Christ, if you will, hating God and loving sin. Unbeknownst to us that our mind has been, the eyes of our understanding has been blinded by demonic forces. But when Jesus comes in, the veil is lifted and we can see clearly. Now, if after we see clearly, or we think we see clearly, and then we do wrong, Paul says it like this: I find another member alive in me. That I, the one who wants to do right, find myself doing wrong. The good that I want to do, I don't do. And the bad that I don't want to do, that I do. So there's another member, which simply means sin has risen within our lives and is dominating us who are no longer children of this world, but now children of God. And we have to flip that thing. You understand what I mean by that? We have to turn that thing around. It's like, no, when you recognize it, no. We're supposed to, as James said, submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, and the devil will do what? Hang around, throw a party, start playing cards with you. No, he will take off and run. But if you don't resist him, he will enslave you, even though he's no longer your master. Jesus is now your master. I hope we're hearing this. Jesus sets us free. So look at how the Apostle Paul writes this. You who were dead, that word were is past tense, meaning that's the way it was, but it's not the way it is. You who were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you formerly walked or regulated or conducted your life according to the age of this world, the patterns of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the devil, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we also once lived in the lust of our flesh. In other words, there's still those who are living that way. And we once did. This is why we don't condemn people, from especially the very things that we used to do, and then we're going to condemn them for doing it. It's like, no. They need to do like we did. They need to repent. Amen. And we need to be straight up with that. We don't need to let them make us feel guilty by, you used to do it too. Yeah, but I don't do that no more. And the same Jesus that saved me wants to save you. I'm not condemning you. I'm simply revealing the truth to you. And the truth is, you need to repent of your sins so that you can be forgiven, washed, and cleansed. Hallelujah. Because right now, Satan is running your life. The truth be told, Satan used to run my life. Demons used to run my life. Whether they were inside or whether they were just from the outside oppressing and influencing and deceiving and enticing and luring me, whatever manner they were using, they once wore, but they can't do that no more. Hallelujah. New sheriff in town, and the sheriff's name is Jesus. And so what I want to do now is I want to let the life of Christ come forth. I want Christ to be fully formed within me. I want the life of Jesus to take over this earthen vessel. So it is no longer I who live, but Christ now lives in me. And as he went on to say, and the life that I now live, I live. We ain't dying, we're living. The outward man perishes, but the inward man, guess what? Gets renewed day by day. Every day, spiritual renovation going on. See, if you don't do this, you don't work this, the old man will start going on. Old thoughts, old bad habits will start to resurface. But every day you should be going through a spiritual renovation in your relationship with God. We don't fellowship with God just one day out of the week. And we don't fellowship only when we come in these doors, although it's in these doors that we learn about fellowship and how to fellowship, but we fellowship outside these doors. Hallelujah. And our fellowship is with the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, and that does not exclude the Holy Ghost because he's in us and with us and upon us. He's empowering us to live the life that God wants us to do. We are in fellowship and communion with God Almighty. And as we're fellowshipping with him, Daddy's cleansing us, washing us in the precious blood of the Lamb, making us clean, making us pure. He's renewing us. He's revigorating us. He's keeping us alive to him, dead to the world, dead to the sin, but alive to Almighty God. Yeah. Yeah. Next time you get mad at somebody, think about the spiritual renovation that you're undergoing. Yeah. You know, that bad thought comes up. Whoa, praise God. Let me just, whoa. You know what I mean? Thank you that I'm in fellowship with you, Dad. Thank you for exposing that evil, wicked, demonic thought. Thank you for exposing the work of the devil. God, praise God. Hallelujah. Now I'm back in my right state, my right mind. I got the mind of Christ Jesus now. I'm ready. Hey, praise God, I'm ready. Yeah. This is life in Christ. We don't fellowship with Dad once a week. We fellowship with him daily, and we undergo this spiritual renewal. We feed our spirit now. There's somebody else on board. You know how it is when you have a baby? You know, a good mother, when she at the point of conception and she understands and knows that she's pregnant, she begins to take care of her body because she now knows that she's not just living for her. She's also living for another life that's on the inside of her. And she wants to carry that baby to full term so that when that baby's debut comes, that baby is ready to come out. Praise God. And so she feeds herself because she knows she's not only feeding herself, but she's feeding the baby. Well, we have a spirit that is now alive to God. And the spirit has an appetite. But his appetite is not steak, it's not potatoes, it's not pig, it's not, you know, vegetarian meal, it's not, you know, any of those things, it's not tofu or any of that. It is the word of God, and it is fellowship with God. That's the meat and the drink that our spirit desires. Why? So we're constantly going through this cleansing process. I'm telling you, what happens if you don't shower or you don't bath? You start to stink. So what happens if you don't read and you don't fellowship with God? You start to stink because the old nature, one or the other is going to get stronger. If you don't think your old nature won't try and resurrect itself, I thought you were crucified on the cross. Well, you're supposed to carry your cross daily. Hallelujah. Constant reminder. Hello. Yeah. I'm crucified with Christ. If any man wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That's not just on Sunday. Isn't that something? We wake up on Sunday. Well, I guess I follow God today because I've been, you know, following me off. I'm sorry. I didn't get beside myself. I need to go home and get some rest. But we get so full of ourselves is what I'm demonstrating. Get so full, and then you're going to try and come and worship God. Praise God. God's like, you glutton. All you've been doing all week is feeding your flesh, feeding yourself, and you've done nothing for your spirit. You haven't been renovated in 6 days, and now you come in here and you expect me to just move on your behalf, and you just have a, we just in the spirit. Oh, don't go for those false goosebumps. praise God. I just thank God because he's good. I'll wrap it up. Give me 2 minutes. I'll wrap this up for tonight. Among them we also once walked. So we also once was there. So it's not like we're better than, we're just different than. And the difference is Christ Jesus in our lives. Among whom them we also once walked, once lived in the lust of our flesh. This is back to Ephesians chapter 2 in verse, I believe this is verse 3. We also once lived in the lust of our flesh, doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And the mind that he's talking about is the carnal mind that if we don't do anything about, it will rule and dominate our thoughts. Some of our biggest problems are right up here in the mind. And we need to be able to, you know, I just see this like compartment thing that you just flip down and then you just take out the trash. You know, we do that by being washed by the water of the word. We're renewing this mind. We're cleansing it, purging it, purifying it of its evil thoughts, darkened thoughts. Depression is a place of darkness, if you will, where demonic powers just begin to work on you and bring you so low that you end up having to take meds in order to just cope with life. Oppression is from the outside. Depression is from the inside, if you will. But it takes the renewal of the mind because it can get so busy with thoughts, and these thoughts are not necessarily edifying. Some of them just take us, you know, you understand what I mean by that? It just takes us just down. And it's, I don't know why I'm on that tonight, but you know, if you're feeling down, it's just time to get up. Praise God for the glory of God. But we have to renew this mind. We have to inject it with the word of God. We have to retrain our thoughts. Our thoughts unchecked will go into areas that they are accustomed to going into. And if we do nothing to pull them back, to bring them into alignment, bring them held captive, this is what happens. We grab them and we bring them captive to the obedience of Christ. No, my thoughts are not just going to run in every direction. And when they do, be quick to repent. Lord, forgive me of that. Cleanse me of that. And guess what he does? As our fellowship is going on, as you have said, be it unto you according to your faith. You're praying for a clean mind. You're believing for a clean mind. And you sense the renewal. Hallelujah. Praise God, the refreshing that comes from the presence of Almighty God. So we got to do something about the mind. We have to do something about the mind. We can't just let it run wild. Stand to your feet. Because my Bible jumped over the page. I want to finish this verse. Doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were, this is what our old nature, we were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. In other words, that those kind of thoughts and all, you know, make us subject to the wrath of God. But God has not appointed us to wrath. But our thoughts can bring us to that place. And that's why we feel such guilt and condemnation and being beaten down when we ought to be built up for the glory of God. Amen? All right. Father, we thank you for your grace. Thank you for your sons and daughters that come out and for the love for you, praying that you perfect everything, praying that the words that have gone forth The words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart has been acceptable in your sight, for you're my strength and my redeemer. And for those who have ears to hear and those that you are speaking to, speaking even to all of us, Father, that we have an ear to hear and a heart to receive and a willingness to obey. For the words that you speak to us, their spirit and their life. And we thank you for that in the name of Jesus. And now I pray for your healing power and virtue. I pray for your favor to come upon your sons and daughters. I pray for the spiritual gifts to be in operation outside of these walls. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healings, workings of miracles, prophecies, discerning of spirits, tongues, and the interpretation of tongues be manifest in the lives of your sons and daughters and everybody that wants to grow in the gifts, everybody that wants to be used in the spiritual gifts in order to edify the body and to glorify Jesus. Lift your hands and say, Lord, use me for your glory. I will give you all the praise, all the credit, all the honor, and the glory for what you do through my life. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, be blessed. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance on you, and give you his peace. His name be over you and your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And above all else, you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. The gates of hell will not prevail against you, but you will triumph over the gates of hell because of who you are and whose you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed. We'll see you Sunday, if not sooner. We'll see some of you Friday. Looking forward to it. Amen.